I've been doing the show all over the country, just having a blast here, there, and everywhere. The fans are great, but we've also been taking my show around the world. We've been doing shows in South Africa, Australia, 3 tours of Europe and the UK. Now they're talking about taking me to China. What? How am I going to do my show in China? All I know is if I do my show in China, there's a big chunk of my act I'm going to have to leave out. You'll recognize it when I do it here this evening. But it is interesting going to some of these foreign countries and doing press interviews because some of the reporters have done their homework and care, others just don't. For example, I was in London talking to a guy and he was like, "All right, so ventriloquism, have you eliminated every other possibility of employment?" And I have to go, "No, this is what I've done my entire life. I've never wanted to do anything else. I started very young. I was 8 years old. I was in the 3rd grade, Christmas, 1970. Got my first dummy. There's mom and dad and me under the tree right there." You can see how proud my father is. But for years, I'd look at that picture and I think, why does he have that expression on his face? And then it finally hit me, duh, look where the dummy's hand is. So, yeah, that's creepy. So I started doing shows very early, all the way through elementary school, junior high, high school, college. And this is what I wanted to do. This was the future I saw. I saw it. There were a few people that didn't see it. For example, girlfriends. They'd realize I was sincere about wanting to talk to dummies the rest of my life, and they would dump me immediately. I couldn't see what they saw until a few months ago. I was sitting down with my 3 daughters, and we were looking at the yearbooks for my junior high and high school years. My daughters were horrified. Why? Let me explain. I started getting paid for doing my shows in the 7th grade. And I knew that if I was going to be a professional ventriloquist, I needed a professional photo. Now, my parents were supportive, but they weren't going to shell out the cash for that. So I thought, how am I going to get a professional picture of me and the dummy taken? And then it finally hit me. School picture day. I thought this was genius. All I had to do was show up at school with the dummy in the suitcase, stand in line. When it was my turn, I'd sit down, put the dummy on my knee, smile, click, professional photo. And that's what I did every year from the 7th grade through the 12th grade. The only trouble was they'd only take one photo, and that's what ended up in every yearbook. And that's why my daughters were horrified. It was boy, girl, girl, boy, boy with doll, girl. Don't believe me? There's 7th grade right there. There it is. I'm the one on the right. Look at that. That is Justin Bieber hair, damn it. So, 9th grade came along, and I decided to do the same thing. This was the bicentennial year in our country, 1976. I was a patriotic lad, but I didn't want to dress like Uncle Sam. No, apparently, I wanted to dress like a 4th of July picnic table cover. You know, the funniest thing to me about that photo is the fact that I have braces. Why is that funny? Well, the rest of my life, I'm going to be talking with my mouth shut, so what's the point? I know most of you look at these photos and thinking, this is the saddest human being we've ever met. Did you have any friends? Yes, I did. Here we are sitting in my bedroom one day. This next photo, you know, my parents were supportive, but every once in a while in a child's life, the parents must step in and say, enough is enough. Apparently, my parents did not do this, as is evidenced by this next photo. And by the way, none of these photos have been photoshopped. Everything is legit. Everything's real. I promise you. So that's how sad it is. But this next photograph, I don't remember how it happened. All I know is that we went to the professional portrait studio, and this was the family portrait that hung in our living room this big for years. You know, maybe my... And the weird part is my parents had family and friends over for parties a lot. And this was hanging right there in plain view, and no one ever said anything. They must have thought, well, the food's good. Let's go to the mentally ill people's house. All right, so that's high school. High school. And time to pick up chicks. It was the late 70s, disco was king. I had my silk shirt, my dummy, and my porn mustache. Now, this next photo I found in a box just recently, you know, and some photos just go without explanation. I don't remember what this was. I don't remember what was going on. I don't know. I don't know. Let's examine this, shall we? I'm standing in my parents' front yard. On the hood of this vehicle is the largest stuffed animal known to man. I don't know how it got it home. I don't know why it was there. I don't know what the hell it is. Also on the hood of the vehicle is R2-D2. My dummy is dressed up like a bad Luke Skywalker knockoff. And I'm wearing a freaking Hawaiian shirt. It's like Tom Selleck jumped out of the closet and went, guess what? And now it was time to move on to college and the intellectual years. You know, the photographer should have just fallen over laughing. I don't... It looked like Sherlock Holmes with a dummy. I don't know what that is. So I graduated from college. I was living in Central Texas, and I was still doing my shows, but I knew I was not yet ready to move out to Los Angeles to seek fame and fortune. So I kept doing shows, as many as I could, but I also had an unusual hobby. I became a licensed helicopter pilot. But I built and was flying my own full-size, real, two-seat helicopter. Now, you would think that someone who is smart enough to build and fly their own helicopter could maybe pick out a decent pair of shorts. Thank you. All I know is thank God the corn was high enough that nobody in the freeway could see me. That's all I can say. My daughters have been horrified by these pictures. They decided to help me out. They are Kenna, Ashlyn, and Bree. They are 13, 15, and 19 years of age. They're the light of my life. They decided to help me out with my clothes, but they decided to dress both me and Peanut, and here's what they chose. As you can tell by these photos, the dummies have been with me for a very long time. You can also tell I had a very poor fashion sense. I will take most of the blame for that. There is, however, one other person that needs to take some of that blame, and that person is my mother. And I'll prove to you that this is her fault because she did this Christmas what she does every Christmas and has for decades. My parents are in their 80s now, and every year what my mother does is she goes to a very nice department store and she picks out a Christmas present for me and my father. She picks out the nicest shirt that she can find, and she buys two. Here's what she chose this past year. Thank you. But I am a ventriloquist, for those of you who might not have figured that out yet. And people ask me all the time, Jeff, why this as a career? Well, I've never done anything else. I taught myself ventriloquism in the third grade, got a dummy, and just kept practicing. I didn't have any brothers and sisters, so there was no one there to tell me that what I was doing was incredibly lame. And since I was adopted, I guess my parents were like, not our fault. As a kid, I didn't know it was weird to be a ventriloquist, but I got picked on for it. The good part was, the bullies didn't know who to stuff in the gym locker first, me or the freaking doll. As for my parents, they were supportive of my hobby, but when I was a kid, if I said something stupid, my father would go, stop talking out of your butt. Ironically, that could be a whole new bit in my show. Little muffled voice, let me out. I'm working on it. By the time junior high rolled around, to make matters worse, not only was I a ventriloquist, but I also chose to play the trombone. Yep, the babes were lined up for that. So in school, I had braces, I played the trombone, and I carried around a dummy. Even the nerds were like, dude, you can't sit with us. I'm not kidding. The short school bus started picking me up simply because the driver figured he was supposed to. After I graduated from college, I moved out to Los Angeles, got married, had three girls. And because it was part of our everyday lives, I guess my girls thought that what I did for a living was not unusual. One day when my youngest daughter was playing at a friend's house, she turned to the other kid and goes, where are your daddy's dolls? True story. But my daughters are now young women. I'm remarried. I'm the luckiest guy on the planet to have my wife, Audrey. When we got married, I knew I came with a lot of baggage. There's an ex-wife, three daughters, six talking dummies. Try putting that on your Match.com profile. But we're here tonight because my act has taken me places I'd never thought possible. We've done shows in South Africa, Abu Dhabi, Israel, Malaysia, and places where they can barely speak English, like France and Southern California. But they even want me in China. Heck yeah, I'll go to China. And then I can see the factory where small children make my Jeff Dunham merchandise. Oh, like Santa Claus is any freaking different. But I'm kidding. All of my merchandise is made right here in the good old US of A. Including the little stickers on the back that say made in China. But... Well, I know some of you know what's going on this evening. I have little people in boxes, and I gotta tell you, the way security is at the airports nowadays when you try and check in with a small person in your luggage... They stop you. Most airports nowadays have the sophisticated equipment for checking your luggage. They're like big MRIs. They can check the contents, the materials. But some of the smaller airports don't. We all know Burbank Airport, just north of here a few miles, don't have all the sophisticated stuff. They still have to hand check a lot of luggage. I was in line about 3.5 weeks ago, early one morning, very crowded. And most people, when you get your luggage hand checked, it's no big deal. They might pull out your underwear like, ooh. But for me, they're pulling out dolls.
I told him not to do that joke.
And I figured out the way they decide whose luggage they're going to hand check is a complete judgment call on these guys' parts. They look at you and they decide, and apparently I looked like a terrorist with a trunk. Because they said, sir, we got to look in that trunk. I'm like, oh, crap, here we go. So he takes the big trunk and he puts it on top of the silver table. He opens it up, and the first thing he pulls out is one of my little guys, Peanut. You'll see him in a little while. You might know Peanut. But he pulls Peanut out, and he's like, hey. People in line are like, hey. And I'm like, oh. Now, they have these swabs, and they swab whatever it is they're looking at. They then take the piece of material. They put it in the analyzer. It then checks to see if your stuff has come into contact with anything dangerous, chemicals, whatever. So the guy has Peanut in one hand, swab in the other. This is all true. It's too stupid to make up. He could have swabbed Peanut on the head, on the foot. No, in front of God and everybody, swabs his butt. Just like that. I know it's only a puppet, but I work with the guy. There's a relationship here. And I'm sitting there watching this, and the first thing I find myself thinking is, you sick bastard. What the hell? Why are you wiping my friend's butt? He then takes the swab, puts it in the machine, shuts the door. I think we're finished. We start to put things away. Suddenly, the little machine goes, Three more guys come out. They have me up against the wall. They're checking my ID. They're doing a background check on the internet. They're going through all my stuff. Takes 15 minutes. Now we're finished. Everything is fine. Then we start to put things back. And then I start to think, what the hell was on Peanut's butt? Labeled me the potential terrorist. And this is all true. And I asked the guy, and he goes, well, it's all in code on the computer. Let's see. And he goes, that would be military-grade plastic explosives. And I go, what? And he goes, well, sometimes the machine confuses lotion for that. And I went, no, there's no lotion on the puppet's ass. Been building bombs in my garage. You caught me, Skippy. Thanks for straightening me out. I don't ever want to go through the Burbank airport again. There's only a small number of these guys that do all the checking. I know next time I go through, they'll all be standing in a group and one of them will point and go, there he is. There's the gay puppet bomber. There's lotion on his puppet's ass.